of Independence Day music, isn't it? It wasn't enough of it, though. Well, as Jan says, we're starting a series on the I Ams of Jesus, and he's saying who he is. We're going to start tonight with John chapter 1, and let's follow along as we read a couple of verses from verse 1 of John's Gospel chapter 1. Now there was a man named Lazarus. He was sick. He was from Bethany. Bethany is just kind of 3 kilometers from Jerusalem. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters went to Jesus and said, "Lord, the one you love is sick." They sent word to him. He wasn't there. They sent word to him. When he heard this, when he got word that Lazarus was sick, he said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it will be for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when they heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Did you read that in verse 6? He loved them, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days, tying up his love for Lazarus with his reason for staying there another 2 days. Doesn't make sense. We will make sense of it. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." And then in verse 11, after he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our Lazarus, friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to wake him up." His disciples, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he was meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that," see the reason? "So that you may believe, but let us go to him." And then he gets there, verse 17, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany is less than 3 kilometers from Jerusalem, and many of the Jews had come to comfort Martha. And then in verse 21, "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here," kind of scolding him, "my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise at the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she said, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And then we go on down to verse 17. Jesus once more deeply moved, Jesus once more deeply moved came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "by this time there is a bad odor," because his body was decaying. He'd been there for 4 days already. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and a cloth around his face. I know of a highly skilled IT person obviously works in computers, and she really felt the Lord had opened a door for her to go to the UK, and with all these skills, she was promised that she would get a job in her field. Well, she ended up working as a receptionist, and she was frustrated because she had so many skills that she could use far better in IT rather than as a receptionist. She prayed. She said, "Lord, give me a job in my field." And she prayed and prayed, and there was nothing. Months later, the company had a system problem. The company knew that she had the qualifications. They asked her to take a look. Long story, But she ended up running the IT department in that company. Let's look at Joseph's life. And I'm going to ask you in one of the questions just to quickly tell the story to each other of Joseph, just very briefly. But Joseph's life, he was sold into slavery. He was falsely accused of rape. He was unfairly jailed. He was forgotten in jail by people who said they would remember him. And the question is, where is the God who's meant to love Joseph? Where is the God that Joseph served? Where is he? It must have been hugely frustrating for Joseph. He knew that God could do something, but God didn't. Of course, we know how the story ended. Joseph ended up being second in command in Egypt, and God used him to save the children of Israel from annihilation, from drought and famine. God was using him. But until God showed Joseph what his purpose was, Joseph simply had to trust God even when he couldn't understand. When Joseph saw what God had accomplished, he was then able to say to his brothers, now his brothers were scared that Joseph was going to take retribution on them, he was able to say to his brothers, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? It's true, you guys intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what has now been done, the saving of many lives." Joseph could say that because he could now stand back and see the purpose of God through these things that he couldn't understand when he was going through it. God had a purpose all the time. Joseph had to trust God until God revealed his purpose. The same with my friend from IT. When God had accomplished his purpose in her life of teaching her to trust him, then he opened the door. But until then, she had to believe that God is doing something, and she had to trust him. Our text, John 11, is another example. You got Martha and Mary and Lazarus, two sisters and a brother. They lived in Bethany. They were close friends of Jesus. Back in Bethany, Lazarus is sick. But Jesus is not in Bethany. He's up north from there. And so they send a message to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Jesus responds, "The sickness is not unto death. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." There's a first purpose. So that God's Son may be glorified through it. That's the purpose why Jesus says that and why this is all happening. Jesus is doing what his disciples don't understand. They need to trust Jesus. They need to trust that Jesus was in fact accomplishing his purpose even though they couldn't understand what they were going through. Well, they didn't understand, and it got worse. Even though he knew about the sickness of Lazarus, oddly, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for 2 more days. Strange. Now, without understanding what Jesus was doing, it just didn't make sense. And because they did not understand, the disciples were confused by what Jesus was doing. As Joseph had been confused, as my IT friend had been confused, as any of us would be confused when we hope for Jesus to do something and he doesn't. Yet, when the time was right, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." And then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." And then Jesus shares his second purpose. His first purpose was what? That he would be glorified. The second purpose he shares with them is this: "For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe." So Jesus had two purposes. Lazarus' sickness and death was firstly for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And Lazarus' sickness and death was secondly, so that you may believe. Jesus was going to accomplish two purposes here, which he did when he finally arrived in Bethany. And then he gets there, and Martha comes running out to Jesus, and she almost scolds him. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But now I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. She seemed to believe that Jesus could bring her brother back to life again. So Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, oh, I know he'll rise again at the resurrection, you know. But she really didn't believe, I don't think, that Jesus could raise him then and there. How do I know this? Well, Jesus gets to the tomb and he says, take away the stone. Now, if I'd been Martha, I would have thought, now Jesus, he's going to do something because I know he can. But not Martha. But Lord, she says, by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been dead 4 days. What's she saying? In spite of what she had said, what she was indicating is that she in fact didn't believe that Jesus could raise her 4 day dead brother when there's a bad odor because of decay already. She didn't believe that he could. But Jesus is not done yet. He's only beginning. He's about to show why he delayed another 2 days until Lazarus was dead and buried and a bad odor already. Jesus is about to show them the central truth of the Bible. And he needed a very powerful sign to help them believe the central truth of the Bible. And here is the central truth. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? He asked the people then, I'm asking you now, do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. And in order to help them believe, there needs to be a sign that's powerful enough. Not only raising a dead person, but raising a person who's been dead for 4 days. And decay has started to set in again. Remove the stone, said Jesus. Then Jesus prayed, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out, bound in grave clothes. I am the resurrection and the life. And this is a sign to help you believe that. Jesus brought Lazarus back from physical death to physical life. But it was only a sign. Don't forget that it was only a sign. You see, a sign always points to something beyond itself. A sign points to something greater than itself. Signs. We see the signs all over. In fact, when you drive into our church, we have a sign outside our church. It's a beautiful sign, but it's only a sign. It's not the reality. We come to worship on Sunday. We see the sign, but we don't stop by the sign and worship the sign and worship by the sign, do we? We don't expect to meet Jesus and the fellow believers at the sign. The sign points to something different. It points to a greater reality. So what do? We follow the sign and we enter into worship. If we only focused on the sign, we would never get to enjoy the reality towards which the sign is pointing. In this instance, we would never get to enjoy the complete experience of worship. Jesus gave a sign. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. What did that sign point to? What is the thing that Jesus wants us to believe by giving us that sign? I am the resurrection and the life. You have seen me raise Lazarus, but I'm going to do something even bigger. When Jesus raised Lazarus, what did he do? Well, he brought him back into this world. And in this world, Lazarus would get sick again. In this world, he would feel pain again. He'd feel loss. He would feel bereavement. Lazarus would still get hungry. He would still have to earn his living by hard work. He came back to a world where he would die again. But that's only a sign. And a sign points to something much greater. This sign of Lazarus being brought back to physical life, that's not the reality. What is the reality? The reality is this: for us who believe in Jesus, we can look forward to a resurrection like Jesus' resurrection, where his resurrected body showed us the kind of bodies to which we can look forward. In the resurrection, we won't have bodies that can get sick again. We won't have bodies that will feel pain and feel hunger and feel death. We will be given bodies which enable us to live in this world, restored to what it was like at the creation. We look at the breathtakingly beautiful National Geographic pictures, and those pictures give us an idea of what this world is going to look like when God comes and he renews it. We're going to be living in this world renewed to what it was like. Plus, we're going to be living with people with whom we will enjoy a close relationship. You see, in this world into which we are going to be resurrected, friends, there's going to be no more envy. There's going to be no more anger. There's going to be no more jealousy. Those things are gone. We'll enjoy each other's company without all that stuff. Plus, we're going to be in the presence of Almighty God. Sometimes when I'm here at church worshiping, I have a deep experience of God. I mean, it's a moment you don't want to pass. Sometimes in my devotions, God seems to pour himself into me in a special way, especially deeply. And I just love that. The resurrection, we're going to have that all the time. This world, recreated to what it was. People, no more strife, no more tension. Enjoying that deep experience of God. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? God wants us to. And he has given us a powerful sign to help us believe it. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And this has practical implications for us. Because here's the truth, and this is really where the questions are going to center on. This has practical implications. If Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead, if he can promise us resurrected bodies to live eternally, is there anything he cannot do? And so if we are sitting there waiting for him to do something, but he seems to be slow in doing it, we can know, when we know he can, how do we respond? How do we respond? Jesus, you can do this thing. I know you can, but you're not. What are you up to? How can we respond? Surely we can say, Lord, I don't know what you are doing. I don't know why you are not doing what I ask. But I love you and trust you enough to know this is for my growth and for your glory. Because if Jesus can raise the dead, then I can trust you with this. And if I can believe that, and if I can believe that if you don't respond, it's because you are busy accomplishing your purposes, which maybe I don't know about at this stage. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you struggle to believe this? Look at the sign. But don't stay at the sign. Go and see what the sign is pointing to. And let's trust him now that he is working out his purposes, and he can and he will. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we answer these questions, Lord, help us to be thinking about these things and applying them to our lives, to how we might practically deal with confusion we have sometimes when you just don't seem to be doing for us what we think you ought to be. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen.